again, good morning. And today I want to start by telling you the story about the woman in China. Remember I told you last week that I have a story I've been waiting to tell you? I finally can fit it into the message today. It's a very interesting story. There was this woman in China. She was 63 years old, and she was very, very sick. In fact, they actually expected her to die very soon. So I guess it's the custom. I don't know if it's a Chinese custom or maybe just a custom in that part of China. But she was in her room, you know, on her bed, very sick. And they actually brought in the coffin to put it right by the bed. So I guess when the person dies, it's really easy just to take them out. I guess that's the custom in China. So her family thought she was going to die soon. So they brought the coffin in, and they put the coffin there by her bed. And then all day, friends and family and neighbors were coming to the house to say their last farewell, to say goodbye. Well, two of the people who came to the house were Christians. And they didn't come to say goodbye. They came to, they told her about Jesus, and they prayed for her. And friends, within the week, this woman had completely recovered. Wow. Right? Her coffin's there the whole time. You're like, aren't you going to use your coffin, right? She completely recovered. And she knew that, well, that was because the Christians prayed. They knew that was the hand of God. So she willingly, joyfully gave her life to Jesus and began to follow Jesus. Now, this lady, she didn't have much education. She could only read a little bit. But somehow she got a Bible, and she began to read her Bible. And just with her simple understanding, she read, and she was really impacted by what she read in the Bible. So you know what she did? This is great. 63-year-old woman. She took her coffin, dragged it down outside the house, set the coffin outside on the street, and told everyone passing by, she says, "The devil wanted me in this box. God wants me on the box." She stood on the box and began to tell people about Jesus. She's a 63-year-old, brand new baby Christian, telling people about Jesus. Now, here's the cool part. Over the next 2 years, God used this woman to help start 60 house churches. She literally pointed hundreds and hundreds of people into relationship with Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful story? But friends, that is a perfect example of what we talked about last week. Right? As you know, our current series is called Rethinking Church, because we don't want to think about church with kind of our human understanding or according to the ways of the world or even according to church tradition, right? We really want to explore God's heart for the church. So we're in this series, Rethinking Church, and last week we saw that according to the New Testament, we saw this: every Christian is a priest. I'm a priest. You're a priest. You see, in the Old Testament, the priests were this special group of religious workers who served the Lord in the temple. And today, we've created a kind of 21st century version of the priest, except today we call these people what? Pastors, right? Right? And now the pastor, we look to the pastor, and they're the ones who serve the Lord in the church. Right? But friends, while that's a common way of thinking about church today, we saw last week that's not the heart of God. The heart of God, or the New Testament, doesn't say anything about a special group of people who get paid to do the ministry in the church, who are responsible for causing the church to grow and taking care of the people. We just don't see that kind of hierarchy structure in the New Testament, where some people are kind of elevated to a higher position than others. Rather, as we saw in the church, and that includes SIBC, every Christian is important. Every Christian in the church is necessary. The Bible says every Christian is a priest. And that's God's heart for the church. So if you were here last week, we actually learned two things about what it means to be a priest. Let me just quickly share these with you for some of you review, maybe for some of you it's new. But two things. Friends, as priests, each of us, and number one is this, each of us can come close to God. Right? And this is one of the the great truths of the Christian faith through the blood of Jesus that washes away our sin. God has made a way for us to come into His presence. Remember the moment Jesus died on the cross, the curtain in the temple was torn, right? God made a way through the blood of Jesus. And now, drawing near to God isn't just something that pastors do or that church leaders do or that mature Christians do. As priests, we can all draw near to God. Right, we all can look to Jesus and listen to Jesus and walk in personal relationship with Jesus. And you know, we talk about that a lot here at SIBC, right? But talking about it's one thing. Actually, understanding just how wonderful that is completely different. Friends, each one of us can come close to God, right? Because we're a priest. Second, last week we saw that as priests, each of us has a ministry in the church family. Right? It's not just pastors and church leaders who do the work of the church, although they have a part, right? But we saw last week that all Christians have a privilege and actually a responsibility of building up the church and strengthening the church family. Right? That's what priests do. Last week we tried to illustrate these two points by doing this simple diagram, right? If you think of the church as a circle, right? And who's in the center of the church? That's right. You guys are well trained, right? It's Jesus, right? Because He's the head of the church, right? He's the head of the church. He's the center. He's our teacher. He's our leader. That's what Scripture teaches us. So Jesus is the center. And then, as people in the church, we are all priests, right? Each one of us. You're a priest, and I'm a priest. Each one of us is priests. And there's no hierarchy. There's no one person that's kind of more special than the other. Scripture says we're all priests. Now, we have different roles. We'll get into that later, but we're all priests. So there's this equality. And as priests, this is the cool part, each one of us is able to connect with Jesus. Each one of us can draw near to Jesus. We don't need someone to stand between us and Jesus. We don't have to go to the pastor and the pastor pray for us or the pastor help us seek Jesus. We can go directly to Jesus because we're each a priest. That's cool. But not only do we draw near to Jesus as priests, right, we have ministry to one another. And so we're kind of all connected to each other. We're connected to Jesus, but we're connected to one another. You see, friends, it's not just two or three people who kind of serve and minister in the body of Christ. We all serve. We all have a ministry. Right? That's what it means to be a priest. And that's what we talked about last week. Well, today, I actually want to focus on just this second point. Right? Today, I want to talk about what it means to be a priest and what it means to actually have a ministry in the church family. And friends, this is why I told you the story about the lady in China. You see, friends, there was nothing special about her. She wasn't a pastor. She wasn't a missionary. She was just an ordinary person. She never went to Bible college, never went to seminary. In fact, she really didn't go to school much at all. Right? She was just a 63-year-old grandma, baby, new baby Christian. However, she was also a priest. Jesus Christ lived in her. The Word of God was available to her. The power of the Holy Spirit resided in her. And so, friends, as a priest, even this woman, the 63-year-old grandma, she had a ministry. She had a purpose. She had a role. She had a function in the body of Christ. You see, even this ordinary woman was used by God to build up the church and to help the church to grow. And, friends, that's what priests do. And, friends, this is God's heart for the church. It's God's heart for you and me. Now, we might not help the church to grow in the same way that lady did. We might not be standing on our coffin and, you know, starting 60 churches. But whatever it is God has for us, it's just as important. It's just as valuable. It's just as necessary. We're all priests. And we all have a ministry. So, that's our topic for today. Today we're going to talk about when we come together. If we had time this morning, is what I'd like to do, is I'd like to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. Those are just three really good chapters. And in those three chapters, Paul talks about just the various gifts that God has given to different parts of the body. And he talks about how those gifts and the people in the body, how it works together, right, to build up the church. And there's a lot of really good stuff in chapters 12, 13, 14. And it's all kind of one big teaching, one big story, but obviously we can't read three chapters today. So instead we're just going to look at one verse. Actually, in 2 weeks we'll look at chapter 12. But today we're just going to look at one verse from 1 Corinthians 14. And in this one verse, Paul gives us, how do we say this? Paul gives us a little picture. He gives us a brief look at what a New Testament church looked like, or at least one particular church, the church in Corinth. He gives us a little snapshot, a description of the Christians as they gathered together in the church in Corinth. So let's go ahead and read this. This is 1 Corinthians 14:26. And Paul says this. Paul says, when you come together, everyone has a hymn, or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. And all of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. Right, so friends, it's a simple little verse here. But kind of the phrase I really want to focus in on this morning is this very first phrase, right? When you come together. See, Paul's describing for us what these Corinthian Christians did when they came together. It's a description of how they met. It's a description of what they did when they gathered together for worship, whether it was Sunday morning or whatever day they gathered together, right? It's a description of what they did when they came together. It's a description of, well, New Testament Christians, of these priests gathering together. And so I think from this verse, we can learn, I think, God's heart for us when we gather together. I think this verse helps us to understand what life at SIBC maybe could be like or should be like when we come together here on Sunday mornings. So I actually have four things I want to share with you, and these things might shake us up a little bit, but we're not afraid to shake things up, are we? Because we're rethinking church. That's what it's all about. Okay, so four things I want to share with you this morning about when we come together. And the first one is this. When we come together, friends, everyone actively participates. When we come together, everyone actively participates. If you have your yellow outline, you can go ahead and fill these in as we go along. Everyone actively participates. Friends, Paul says that when the Christians in Corinth gather together, look what he says. He says everyone does something, right? It's not just a few people, you know, like the pastor or, you know, the worship team or someone else. It's not just a few people who participated in the service. Paul says that everyone actively participated when they came together. I mean, if the example here in the church in Corinth is the way it's supposed to be, friends, when they met together, there were no spectators. Right? They weren't just kind of the doers and then the watchers. There were no spectators. Now, friends, I don't know about you, but I was never taught to go to church like that. You know what I mean? When I was in high school or in college, I was never taught that I could actually play an active role in the worship service. I was never taught that when I went to church on Sunday morning that I could actually, you know, contribute something to the actual worship gathering so the rest of the church family would be encouraged or built up. I was taught just to kind of come and sit in my chair or my pew. We sat in pews, right? And I was taught just to kind of be a good spectator. I simply just followed the people who were, you know, leading the worship service on the stage. Now, of course, I did participate a little bit, right? When the people on the stage told me to stand up, I'd stand up. When they tell me to sing that song, I'd sing that song. When they told me to listen to the message or give my offering or take communion, I always did what they told me to do. But that's really not active participation, isn't it? Because really none of that ever really originated from my heart. I was just doing what someone else thought I should do. I was just doing what someone else had decided was good for me to do. So it was participation, but it was kind of a passive participation. Do you kind of know what I mean? And I think that's kind of what was expected of most people. Most people didn't have a real active role. There was just kind of it was a passive role in the worship service. Does that kind of make sense? Well, friends, unfortunately, and I think this is common in many churches, including SIVC, unfortunately, right? Those who are up front on the stage, and in this church, it's the worship team and the guy who gives the message and the translators, right? They have an active role where most of the people sitting in the chairs, they're just expected to be more passive. But friends, that's not the example of Scripture, right? In Corinth, it wasn't just a few people who were priests and everyone else was just spectator. Everyone was a priest. And therefore, every Christian was an active participant when they came together. And so, friends, I think the same maybe is true or should be true for us. When we come together here at SIBC, maybe everyone can, maybe everyone should actively participate. Well, this leads us to our second point. We continue on. We also see this. Friends, when we come together, everyone brings something to give. When we come together, everyone brings something to give away. Right? Paul says that when the Christians gathered, not only did everyone participate, but everyone brought a gift, right, to give to the rest of the church family. And Paul actually gives a few examples here, right? Right? Some people gave a hymn, some people gave a word of instruction, some people gave a revelation, a tongue, the interpretation of the tongue. But friends, the key is everyone brought something. Right? Now, I want you to notice Paul's not actually commanding the people to do this. Rather, he's just simply stating that this is what they were already doing. Right? When the Christians come together, everyone was already just in the habit of bringing something to give away. And I think this should be really easy for our Japanese friends to understand, because in Japan, right, whenever you go to someone's house, you always bring something, right? Even if it's a little gift, you got to bring something. You can't just go empty-handed. Well, friends, that's what these Christians were doing in Corinth. They didn't go to church empty-handed. When they went to give something away. Everyone had something to give. Now, again, I was never taught to go to church like this. Right? I was taught that on Sunday mornings, there's a small group of people who are giving something away. Right? Of course, it's the greeter at the door. You know, they came early to help serve and pass out bulletins, and the Sunday school teachers, and you know, the worship team, and maybe someone giving a testimony or someone helping with the sound system or something. They're the ones who are giving something. Right? But a few people will give, but most people, especially as the church gets bigger, right? Most people, they don't give, they just receive. They come and they just receive. Is that maybe your experience too? I think in many churches, there's a few who give and many who receive, because that's just the way we've been taught to do it. Now, don't misunderstand me, because when we come and gather together, we need to receive, don't we? I don't know about you, but I need to receive. I think we all need to receive. We need to hear the word of God. We need an opportunity to worship God. We need to be encouraged. We need to be prayed for. We need to encounter Jesus. We need to receive these things when we gather together. But friends, the example of Scripture is that when we come together, we don't come together for the purpose of receiving. We come together for the purpose of giving something away. And that's a very different way of thinking about church. It's not just a few people who give and everyone else receives. Friends, everyone gives. Right? Everyone brings something to give away. Why? Because every Christian is a priest. And that's what priests do. And friends, I think this is the New Testament model or way of being the body of Christ. This is God's heart for the church. Everyone gives. And you want to know the cool part? When we do church God's way, when we all come bringing a gift with a desire to give a gift that will help build up and encourage the rest of the church family, you know what will happen? Not only does everyone give, but everyone will also receive. Right? If we got, well, today is what, 15? If we have 15 people coming here to give something away, chances are all 15 of us are going to walk away having received something. If we have just one or two people who are trying to give a gift, we might miss somebody. Someone might have a need that we don't see. Someone might have a need that doesn't ever get met. You see, friends, when we come together, we all need to receive. And I'll be honest, that includes me. In fact, in 2 weeks, I'm going to share just some of my thoughts and some of my struggles in this area over the last couple of years. But I also need to receive. We all need that, right? And that's why God's design for the church is that everyone comes with a gift. Everyone brings a gift, because when everyone gives, everyone receives. Does that make sense? Now, this might be kind of vague to you. It's like, what am I talking about when we talk about bringing a gift? Right? What exactly is it that we can bring when we come together? Well, I think maybe there's two ways to understand what it is that we bring when we come together. And the first way is, the Bible, the New Testament, is full of all of these one another commands, right? These one another commands teach us how to relate to one another and how we are to care for one another and take care of one another in the church. And let me just show you. Here's five examples. There's actually about 40 of these in the New Testament. But here's five, right? The Bible tells us to pray for one another. It tells us to teach one another and encourage one another and build up one another and serve one another, right? And if you read through Scripture, there's lots and lots of these one another's. But friends, all of these are things that we as Christians are all can all do. Right? All Christians can do these things to one another. It's not just one person prays for everyone and one person teaches everyone. There's a sense where we all teach one another. We all pray for one another. And so, friends, each one of these is just an example of something that you might bring and give away when you come here on Sunday. For you, the gift you might be is praying for someone. You might lead a prayer from up on the stage like some people do, or you just might pray with someone during fellowship time. Either way, you're praying for someone. You're giving a gift. Maybe your gift is to teach someone, right? I mean, I teach every week from up on the stage, but someone else might teach just as you're talking with someone and they're kind of going through a rough time, and you just speak the Word of God into their hearts. You teach them and you encourage them. Right? So there's different ways of doing all of these things, but each one of these is an example of what we can bring with us and give away. Right? So the one another's, that's one way to understand what we bring when we come together. But on the other hand, we can also... Sorry, Michio, I added all that, didn't I? Right? We can also consider our spiritual gifts. This is another thing that we can bring and give away. Right? Here's a list of all of the gifts in the Bible. You won't find these all in one place. You find these in different passages. I think Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4 is where you see these. Right? But the Bible says that if you're a believer in Jesus, then God has given you a gift, at least one gift. He's given you a special ability that you didn't have before you became a Christian. He's given you an ability. He's given you a gift. So for some of you, you might not even know it, but you have the gift of evangelism. Others, you might have the gift of giving, or the gift of service, or the gift of mercy, or the gift of faith. And God's given you that gift. And the Bible says the reason why God gives us these gifts is so that we can use them to build up the church. He gives us the gift, not so we can just keep it for ourselves and say, ooh, look at my gift. He gives us the gift so that we can give it away. And that's what He tells us to do. When we gather together, we're supposed to give. And so for some of us, when we come together, the gift we give will somehow relate to our spiritual gift. Maybe you'll just be doing the one another's. You'll just be encouraging someone because Scripture tells us to. But maybe you'll be doing administration because that's maybe a gift that God's given to you and you want to serve in that way. Right? So maybe these are two ways of thinking about the gifts you can bring. It might be a spiritual gift. It might be just the one another thing that we're all commanded to do. But friends, however you understand that, the important thing is that you got to bring something. The important thing is that when we come, we don't come empty-handed, right? Everyone brings something to give away. That's God's heart. And friends, if you think about it, that's a very different way of doing church, isn't it? Because right now, the way we do church, unless you're on the worship team or speaking or translating, there's really no opportunity for you to give a gift, right? You maybe came this morning wanting to give your gift away, but the way we do worship service, there's no opportunity for you. You know, some of you maybe have never seen this, but we we're very well planned here at SIBC, and we each week we have this little sheet here, and it says it's exactly everything that's going to happen from 10:30 to 12 o'clock, right? So before the service starts, I know exactly what songs we're going to sing. I know exactly how we're going to sing them, first the English and then Japanese and then repeat the English chorus. I know exactly how we're going to do that. I know exactly the announcements that will be made. I know who's going to be playing on the worship team. I know who's going to be translating. I know when we're going to have prayer time and when we're not going to have prayer time. I know what, I mean, all the messages written out. We know everything. We're very, very well planned here. And that might be common for most churches. But what it means is that if you're not on the schedule, tough luck you giving a gift, right? You're kind of out of luck. You see, so I wonder maybe if the Corinthian church was very, very different than this. Maybe when they gathered together, maybe they didn't have this kind of man-made, nice, planned-out thing. Right? Maybe when they gathered together, it was just, okay, who brought a gift today? And rather than have some person saying, okay, well, we're going to do this and this and this, maybe the group was more led by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit leads someone to begin to sing a song. And it's not a song that they, you know, heard on their favorite CD. It's maybe a song that they, God placed in their heart as they were reading scripture or something. And they begin to sing the song and no one knows it at first. But after a while, people begin to pick up the tune and people begin to all sing. And it becomes this singing a new song to the Lord. And when that's done, maybe the Holy Spirit leads someone else to pray. And then leads someone else to give testimony. And then that leads to someone else maybe wanting to pray for those who are sick. Right? And then someone begins to teach, and then someone gives a revelation, a prophetic word, a tongue or something. And in this way, no one knows what's going to happen. No one has it all planned out except for the Holy Spirit. And maybe that's kind of how they have to do church, because you never know what gifts people are going to bring until we actually get here. And friends, in this way, everyone participates. Everyone has opportunity to give a gift. And friends, that's a very different way of coming together as a church family, isn't it? Now, I've never been to a church like that. Maybe home groups, maybe kind of you can do that. But friends, here at SIBC, I wonder if we need to rethink how we do church. Maybe we need to rethink how we spend our time on Sunday morning so that we can somehow create opportunities for everyone to give a gift. Now, honestly, as I think about that, it's hard for me to imagine what that might look like. Today we have not so many people. Maybe it's easier with this amount of people. If you have 30, 40 people, that'd be kind of hard, wouldn't it? And then we have to translate everything, English and Japanese, and that would even be really hard. Right? So I have a hard time understanding how this might work. But friends, as a church family, I hope we consider this, because I believe we're all supposed to bring a gift. And it'd be a shame if people bring a gift and yet they never have a chance to give it because we're too busy following our little man-made order here. You know what I mean? Friends, God never intended just a few people to do all the work of the church, right? We're all priests, and when we gather together, everyone brings a gift. Everyone has something to give away. Does that make sense? Okay. Let's continue on then. Number three. Doing okay, Michio? She's still smiling. Good. Okay. Number three. When we come together, everyone makes a unique contribution. Everyone makes a unique contribution, right? Take a look here at verse 26 again. Look at the word here in English. Paul says the word or, right? He says everyone comes together and they give something, but he doesn't say they give the same thing, right? Something, yes. Same thing, no. Paul says some people will give a hymn, but maybe someone else will give a word of instruction. And someone else will do this, and someone else will do that. You see, Paul's point is that everyone gives, but everyone brings something different. Right? Everyone makes a unique contribution when they gather together. Actually, 1 Corinthians 12, which is the passage we're going to look at in 2 weeks, Paul illustrates this by comparing the church to a human body. Friends, and Paul says that each one of us, every single one of you here in the room today, you're a different part of the body of Christ. Now, we need to understand that a body doesn't have 12 noses, right? Right? We don't have 12 noses. If we had 12 noses, maybe 11 of the noses could do nothing, and they could just let the one nose kind of do the smelling. But it's not like that in the body. There's one nose. And so if you're the nose, you know what that means? You're important. Because you can do something that no one else can do. God doesn't create a body with 12 noses, right? He doesn't create a body with 5 right hands. There's one right hand, and if you're the right hand, you're needed. If you're not the right hand, then we got a body without a right hand, then it's just, right? Friends, when we understand Paul's analogy here in 1 Corinthians 12, we see that every single one of us is unique into the body of Christ. Every single one of us has a function in the body that no one else can perform. Friends, you have skills and talents and gifts and abilities and experiences that no one else has. You are special. You are unique. You are different than everyone else. Your gift is valuable. Friends, you are valuable. And for that reason, we need one another, right? And I know that's hard for some people to believe. Some people think, oh, the church doesn't need me. My gift is small. I don't really have much to give. Or it's just, you know, I'm not important. I don't have to do anything because the church doesn't need me. Yeah, the church, they need Michael, right? Because the pastor is seen as having, I don't know, like 9 body parts. He's the nose and the eyes and the ears and the feet and the toes, and right? But it's not like that. Every single one of us is important and necessary. And needed. Friends, I have skills and abilities and gifts and experiences that you do not have. So you need me. But you know what? Omara has gifts and skills and abilities and experiences that no one else has. So we need her. I need her. And that's true for every single one of us. We all have something that no one else has. We need one another. And friends, as I just said, sometimes it's hard for us to really understand. We think that, you know, as the church needs, you know, the pastors, but the pastor doesn't need me. And friends, if you think that way, stop it. Stop it today. That's so not what Scripture says. Scripture says we're all important, we're all necessary, we're all a part of the body of Christ, and we need one another. Yes, we're different, but that's why we need each other. Because we're not all the same. And friends, this is why, when we come together, I think God's heart is that everyone would actively participate and everyone would bring something to give. You see, because everyone has a special part to play in the church, a part that God created just for them. Everyone makes a unique contribution. And actually, that'll be our topic in 2 weeks. We're going to talk about needing one another. Okay, well, finally, let's go on to number 4. When we come together, friends, everyone strengthens the church. When we come together, everyone strengthens the church, right? Again, this is what Paul says in verse 26, right? He says, the reason why everyone participates, the reason why everyone brings a gift is so that the church would be strengthened. Right? Everyone has the responsibility to strengthen and build up the church. Now, friends, if you've been around SIBC, you know that I don't use the word responsibility very much. Because usually when you talk about responsibility, people are trying to make you feel guilty for not doing what you should be doing, right? We use responsibility to make people feel guilty. Oh, you have responsibility to come to church, and you're not coming to church. So we use responsibility to kind of lay obligation and burden. And that's so not what I'm trying to do here today. But the truth is, I think we do, each of us, have a responsibility to help build and grow and strengthen the church. That's what God's given us to do. That's what it means to be a priest. But friends, unfortunately, this is not how many people think, huh? A lot of people think that it's the pastors and the church leaders and the deacons and the elders. They have the responsibility to strengthen the church, and yet, the Bible says no. Right? The Bible says every Christian is a priest, and therefore we all have a part in building up the church. Each one of us, indeed, has responsibility for doing our part to strengthen the church. You see, friends, it's just not possible for one person, like the pastor, or even a small group of people, to meet the needs of everyone in the church. Right? It's just, no matter how hard they try to serve, no matter how hard they work, it just can't be done. If only four or five people are giving a gift on Sunday, there will be a lot of people who leave here Sunday afternoon who have received nothing. In fact, I'm absolutely certain that people come here each week with various needs. Some people need friendship. Some people need prayer. Some people need encouragement. Some people need guidance. Some people need healing. Some people need financial help. Most of us just need to meet Jesus in a fresh way. And yet, every week, I wonder how many people go home without having those needs met. Why? Because, friends, it's not possible for a small group of people to meet the needs of everyone who gathers. You see, I think a church will never be strong, never be healthy, if only a few people are actively working to strengthen the church family. And if I can just be real honest here for a moment, this is one of my concerns for SIBC. I think that we depend on a very small group of people to do most of the ministry in the church. And if that continues, then SIBC will become weaker, not stronger. You see, friends, because that's not the example of the New Testament. God's heart is that everyone would do their part to strengthen the church. Strengthen it spiritually, I think also strengthen it financially. Right? We all have a part. You see, because if everyone serves, everyone will be served. Right? If everyone is looking out for the needs of one another, then hopefully everyone's needs will be met. If everyone comes here with the heart to give, then everyone will receive. And friends, when we do church that way, everyone grows. Everyone matures. Right? Everyone will be strengthened. So maybe we can think of it this way. Friends, when we leave here on Sunday afternoon, there should be at least one person in the family who was strengthened and built up because you were here. You gave a gift to someone somehow in some way that somehow strengthened at least one other person, that built them up, that encouraged them. And that's the way it should be every week when we leave. Maybe we don't know who that person is, but it should be that we came to give something away, and as a result, someone built up. Because when we come together, everyone strengthens the church. I hope that's your heart. I hope that's your desire. Well, there's more I can say, but I'm going to save it for 2 weeks when we kind of talk about this again. But friends, here we see just a brief glimpse of what life in the New Testament church might have been like, at least in the church in Corinth. When they gathered together, it wasn't just a few people who served and taught and led and did ministry. No, everyone had a part. Everyone participated. Everyone had something to give. Everyone made a contribution. Everyone worked to strengthen the church. And friends, really, the key word there is what? It's everyone. Right? And that shouldn't surprise us. Because this is what we've seen like for the last 3 or 4 weeks now, right? There's no hierarchy in the church. It's not a few people at the top who are important and everyone else is just nothing. Friends, we're all priests. And therefore, we all have a valuable and an important role to play when we come together. So friends, what's your part? What's your role in the church? Well, what's your gift that you will give to the rest of the church family? How will you strengthen the church? Now, even as I ask those questions, those are not questions for you to answer. Rather, those are questions that you take to Jesus and you ask Jesus. You see, as priests, we've seen that we can draw near to God. And we have ministry in the church. Those are the two things that priests do. And friends, these two really go together, don't they? As we seek Jesus, as we walk with Jesus, as we worship Jesus, as we study the scriptures and learn about Jesus, as we learn to love Jesus and follow Jesus and listen to Jesus and talk to Jesus and obey Jesus and abide in Jesus, right? As we do these things, you know what happens? Jesus then equips us to serve in the church. Jesus gives us a gift that we give away. Jesus tells us how he wants us to be active in the church. Jesus will teach us how he wants to use us to strengthen the church. That's what Jesus does. How do I know? Because this is Jesus' church, right? He's the head of the church. In Matthew 14 or 16, he's the one who says that he will build his church. Not us, it's him. He wants to build his church and he wants to do it through you and me. So if we want to participate and give a gift and help strengthen the church, and we ask Jesus, I think he's just waiting to let us know the part that he has for us. So as you know, at the end of after the message each week, we take time just to be still and quiet before the Lord. So we're going to take some time right now again to be just still and quiet. We want to talk to Jesus. Remember, as a priest, you can confidently and boldly come before him. So I encourage you to do that right now. And as you begin just to take this time to come to Jesus, I really encourage you to express your hunger and your desire for him. Because I don't think we do that enough. I think every day we should express just a hunger and a desire to know Jesus more and draw closer to him and walk closer to him. Express that desire. I also encourage you just to express your willingness to follow and your willingness to obey Jesus. And then take a moment and just ask Jesus, Jesus, how do you want me to serve? How do you want me to minister at SIBC? Jesus, well, what gift do you want to give me so that I can give it away when we gather together? Jesus, how do you want to use me to build up and strengthen your church? Friends, and as you do that, just ask him to fill you with the Spirit, empower you by his Spirit, use you by his Spirit. And I think in time he will. He will make it clear what your role, what your part is. So let's take time now to come. Join me in Jesus.